Amen. Outstanding program today. Thank you, Ms. Jean, Brother John, Ms. Alicia, our choir, Brother Paul. What an outstanding program today to honor America. Thank you for being here at New Hope Baptist Church today. We celebrate the 4th of July. There's no better place to celebrate the 4th of July than in the Lord's house. I've just been praying about what the Lord would have me to share with you today on this birthday of our great country. July 4th, 1941, you history buffs know 1941 to 45 was World War II. July 4th of 1941, with the rise of Hitler's nefarious army in Europe, we saw a nation, the United States of America, decide to celebrate July 4th as a national holiday. It was relatively a young holiday when you look at that from 1941 perspective. 6 months later, we were bombarded at Pearl Harbor by the Japanese, and in doing so, FDR told our great country, our great people, that you have awoken a sleeping giant, and therefore hell poured upon the nation of Japan, the nation of Germany, and Eastern Europe, and saw triumph like never before. And the only way we could ever experience that triumph is because of the mighty hand of God upon this nation. We think about today, we heard Brother Paul reading about Continental Congress with the Constitution of the United States of America. Preamble that was read to you guys today, the Bill of Rights, those first 10 amendments, are so crucial to the foundation of what we stand for. And I would encourage you today, if you don't know those first 10 amendments, to look them up and see what these forefathers did for us to set this aside for us to have this great country. At the old State House in Boston, Massachusetts, on July the 18th, 1776, General Thomas Craft read the Declaration of Independence. And from that time forward, every July 4th, at the old State House in Boston, Massachusetts, the Declaration of Independence will be read. President Abraham Lincoln said the Declaration of Independence is a rebuke and a stumbling block to tyranny and oppression. When you think about the Declaration of Independence, you think about that we are endowed by who? The Creator, right? And our Creator is a capital C in that Declaration of Independence, which means that we are a sovereign nation founded by a sovereign God. And as we are founded by a sovereign God, we see that we have been given unalienable rights and not anything that we deserve, but given to us simply by the grace of God. We have life, that we have liberty, and we have the pursuit of happiness. Life, think about that today. Our nation leads the world in abortions. Do we truly proclaim the Declaration of Independence? Christians, now is the time to stand up. When you think about liberty, our liberties are being taken away from us every time we turn the corner. You say that you must be vaccinated to go here, to go there. You must be this, you must be that. Our liberties are being stripped away by the droves as people are submitting to ungodly tyranny in our governmental system. I think about today, when I think about liberty, and I think about the Christian liberties that we have. It will only be a matter of time if we don't stand up, Christians, before these very things that we do today will be stripped from us. And you and I need to stand for these times that we're going through. You think about life, you think about liberty, you think about the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of happiness is being teared away from us in our country today. Our kids at one time were told, you can grow up and be whatever you want to. Whatever God's desires have been put on your heart, you can go do it. And today, those dreams get crushed by the tyranny of this oppressive, quote-unquote, constitutional republic that we have. So you and I today, Christians, it's time for us to stand up. How do we stand up? Well, that's a great question. Amerigo Vespucci was the Italian explorer that came after Columbus to find the New World, and as he did, he carved out this incredible place that we know as North America. And that name, America, It means home rule. And where we're at today is that we are a sovereign nation. The United Nations does not dictate what we do. We are not controlled by a puppet government called the League of Nations and the European Nations as well. We are not controlled by other entities from around the world that tell the United States of America, this is what you will do and this is what you will follow. Praise God today that we are a sovereign nation founded by God, and you and I have the opportunity to vote for people to represent us in Congress. And that's what we're called to do. And so as we think about this today, as John and Casey and Jim saying that so ably, our dependence on God is our true independence in life. And when you and I start realizing this, we get back to the basics of what you and I are called to do, and then we see some things start to happen in this country where true change, change for revival, change for Christ, people's hearts ablaze again for the Word of God. And people that come to His house to pray and not make it a den of thieves, but to come together to worship Almighty God in spirit and in truth. When people get back to that, to the values that this country was founded upon, then we will be a mighty nation again. But until then, we're in a bind, aren't we? And as we're in a bind, I want to just recollect on some historical trivia for you this morning. Pledge of Allegiance, created in 1892, 1942, submitted before Congress. 1954, the phrase "One Nation Under God" was added. And there is a plethora of organizations today, like the American Civil Liberties Union, that is trying to take that phrase out. It's time for us to stand, Christians. We are one nation under God. Our forefathers, the Puritans, the Pilgrims, that came over on the Mayflower, in the Mayflower Compact, it said the reason they were coming here to establish their communities was for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith. We are a nation founded upon God. In 1864, right during the middle of the Civil War, our coinage, "In God We Trust," was minted on it. In 1957, our paper currency, "In God We Trust," was printed on it. Today, there is a movement in our country to take that off our money. Praise God, today it stands on our marquee at New Hope Baptist Church, "In God We Trust." Irving Berlin in 1918 composed one of the greatest songs of all time, "God Bless America." In 1938, with the fervor of Hitler's Europe becoming an instant threat to the United States of America, Irving Berlin not only took this song and composed it, but he put words to it, and he put words to it. It became the national anthem for this country. In 2001, after the World Trade Center and the Pentagon was attacked by Al-Qaeda because of the liberties and foundations that we stand on, Celine Dion redid that song, "God Bless America," and it went number one to the charts. Do you see a defining thing here, folks? The only way Americans ever come together, the only way Americans ever stand side by side, regardless of being a Republic, a Democrat, or an Independent, the only time we stand side by side is when our country is under attack. And I'm here to tell you today, our country is under attack. September 14th, 2001, after the attack on the World Trade Center, President George W. Bush issued a national day of prayer. That has been going on since 1952. But George W. Bush made it a proclamation that each day we will have, each September, there will be a national day of prayer. It's now been moved around to various different dates. I read the stat to you guys on Memorial Day. President Donald Trump, several different times in the National Day of Prayer. At one point, he mentioned God 8 times. Then in an election year, he mentioned God 16 times. But I'm sad to come to you today that our last National Day of Prayer, President Biden not one time mentioned God. Regardless if you're a Republican or Democrat today, you can see the very foundations and morals and values of what our country has been built upon. The foundation is beginning to crumble. So where does that put us, church? Well, it puts us back to where? The Word of God. Let me paint you a picture this morning. We're in bad shape, but we're not as near bad shape as Peter was in his time. The Roman Empire was vast. The Roman Empire had spread across the world. They did it through force. They used, if you remember back in our study in Mark, they did it through garrisons. And when the Roman garrisons come through, they annihilated people. They burned villages. They decimated things to the ground. And in doing so, they conquered the world. And in doing that, an evil emperor was crowned as the ruler of the Roman Empire. His name was Nero. Nero had an affinity for young boys. He was a bisexual, homicidal, absolute maniac. He, in history, all the historians, even ones that are not Christians, conclude that Nero in 64 AD set Rome ablaze. And when he set Rome ablaze, he blamed it on the Christians. And when he did, he told the Roman garrisons to kill every Christian, and the ones you can't kill, put them in prison. Folks, we think we got it bad. Poor old Peter was arrested. He was not given three meals a day. He didn't have air conditioning. He didn't have the luxuries that our prison system does today. He was thrown in a deep, dark dungeon. And as he was in there under the Holy Spirit, he penned these words to the dispersion in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. The dispersed church was scared for their lives. They had seen Stephen in Acts chapter 8. They had seen him stoned with great big stones. They had seen him murdered. And as they had seen this, they dispersed from Israel and they went to Asia Minor. Asia Minor is the country we know today as Turkey. And as they went there and started local churches, Peter wrote this letter to this dispersion of the church. And as he wrote it, there's only one verse that comes to my mind. How can we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ and keep doing what we're doing in this godless society that we live in? Well, church, let me tell you something today. This may be written around 60 A.D., we're not for sure. But I believe what was good for 60 A.D. is good for 2021 A.D. I believe that the Bible transcends time. I believe what the Bible said when it was written still stands true today. And there's some things that you and I can get back to that I really think would honor the Lord in this country on its great birthday of July the 4th, 2020. Let's look at these things today in verse 17. Peter says, when you submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, we're back in verse 13, this idea of submission to government, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good, for this is the will of God. Listen to this. I have so many people come up to me and ask for prayer. They say, "Mike, I just want to know what God's will is for my life." Okay? Listen, he spells it out for us in the Word. Okay? So watch this. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." We'll talk about that in a second. "As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God," there's that dependence on grace. "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Honor all people. Man, I don't know about you, but that's hard. I have been, if this offends you this morning, so be it. We are too politically correct that even in the pulpit. Way too politically correct even in the pulpit. Yesterday, a transgender whatever exposed themselves in California and set off riots all throughout the streets. We have people dealing with sexuality issues today. when God made it very clear that he created male and he created female. And when we look at this today, we have seen a movement that has shoved immorality right down our throat. They set aside the month of June to proclaim it as Pride Month. And they have perverted the rainbow and use it as their flag. Listen to me, church, today. God's wrath is going to pour upon this nation if we do not repent. It's going to pour upon this nation. The God of Sodom and Gomorrah is the same God today. He does not change. He is who he says that he is. He has given us over to our own lust in Romans chapter 1. We are a Romans chapter 1 society. And as we are, it sickens me to think about this. I heard Pastor Boyd Friday, he and I was visiting, about the things that are being pushed down the curriculum. And some of the things that are being pushed down the curriculum being taught to first graders is, what is an erection? Being taught to first graders, if you're a girl, you may not choose to be a girl, but you would rather be a boy. This is perversion at its finest, and these people need to be sent to jail. When you think about these things, how can I honor all people? How can I honor these people that are perverts? How can I honor these people that are terrorists? Let's talk about Antifa for a second. They have overtaken the city of Seattle. They say Seattle, Washington's tourism has so steeply declined because people are scared to death to go to the streets. Everybody's seeing what's happening in New York City. The nut mayor has said, we're not going to hire any more police officers. And people are getting jumped in broad daylight. It's gone back to the 1980s of what New York City used to look like. Portland, Oregon has been taken over by Antifa. This far-left extremist, and I'm just going to say it from the pulpit, terrorist group, has overtaken these cities in our great country. And as they have set up all these different safe zones, all these this crazy idea of overtaking blocks of the city to promote what they believe in, which is Marxism, which is anarchy, which is things that you and I as believers cannot stand for. And so as we see this taking over, how can I honor all people? Listen, we see the Marxist efforts of Black Lives Matter. We see it shoved down our throats where they are trying to take the family. And you hear today that may support Black Lives Matter. I would research that more closely, because any organization that tries to tear apart the family that God created is an enemy of a Christian. And so when we look at these things and we see these politicians get on TV and they lie straight to our face. We get on the politicians on TV and they tell us things that we sit there and say, oh, they've got such a kind heart. They are deceived by the devil. How can I honor all people? Man, my neighbors are crazy. My family's crazy. There's people that wait on me at the restaurants that they're pushing their agenda on me. And there's people that you deal with on your job. There's people that you deal with out in the world. How in the world can I honor all people? I struggle with this. The Greek word from the Strong Concordance means this. It means to put a value on. Wow. How in the world can I show somebody that is a homosexual grace? You know why? Because God showed me grace. How can I show somebody that has a far left view when I have a far right view grace? Because God showed me grace through his son, Jesus Christ. How can I get along with somebody that's a yellow dog Democrat and I'm a red bleeding American Republican? How can I honor that person? Well, watch this. When you value somebody that's made in the very image of Almighty God, You value them for what? You value them because everyone has a soul. And as everyone has a soul, you say, Michael, what are we supposed to do? Just love everybody? Well, that's what we're called to do. But I tell you, there's a false evangelism that's promoted. Of where we go into these communities, where we go to people that are in sin and say, God loves you. Let me tell you about God. When you are sinning against Him, His full wrath will come down upon you. The homosexual community has AIDS because of the wrath of God. The Antifa, that they have been labeled an extremist organization group, they have the wrath of God on them because hopefully our military, when certain people get out of office and hopefully certain people get back in, they will come down upon these people. The wrath of God. Listen. These people have a soul, and these people need to be shown who Jesus Christ is. Now, I want you to think about this a minute as we honor all people. You may flood the Civic Center tonight for the fireworks, and you're going to get around those people that are just like, oh my goodness, where did they come from? Pine Mills, Texas, or what? You're going to think, man, how in the world can I honor all people? You just remember this. You just remember that they're made in the image of God. You remember that they have a soul. And you think about what the Apostle Paul did when God chose him to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ come to him on the road to Damascus and totally changed his whole life. Amen? Listen, when the Lord changed Paul, Paul was the greatest witness for Christ that there ever has been. And I think about this. What if somebody in the transgender movement got saved? What if somebody that was walking on the streets of New York City with the pride parades and down at Disney World with the pride parades and all that stuff, what if one of them got saved? I think about Antifa. What if the Lord calls them to Himself who He has elected? What if, when you think about Black Lives Matter, we've seen people in their organization say, I've been enlightened by the Lord, and I have changed. I have read 5 testimonies of people that have been in that organization. The Lord has changed their heart, has replaced that heart of stone with a heart of flesh, and they have walked away from that organization. The Lord can change man. Let me tell you something. He can change us. And sometimes, can I just get real with you? We get bigoted. We get racist. We get real negative about people. And we start to breed hate rather than to honor. And so I'm going to encourage you today, when you see others that don't have that same opinion as you, when you see others that are out there in the world living that ungodly lifestyle, you remember that they have a soul. And you remember that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Honor all people. The second thing that we see that Paul tells the church that is dispersed, he says to love the brotherhood. And oh, church, how we have failed in that. It seems to me like we have more grievances and more arguments in churches than we do in our own families, than we do in our own workplaces. And it discourages me, as one pastor said, he said, in the church, we make minor matters major. Minor matters major. And so what happens with this love to brotherhood, this love to brotherhood becomes something of where we come in, and what's the first thing we do? We gripe. It's too cold in here. We gripe. My seat's not available. We gripe. What are they doing? They messed up the whole program today. We gripe. They better have bass back there instead of catfish. We gripe. And we complain. And we always have this bellyache attitude of where we come in and there's absolutely no love. We come into the Lord's house and we critique and we nitpick everybody instead of coming to His house. Or evade in prayer when we left our house and we're bathing in prayer, coming out of here saying, Lord, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And when I come into his house, I have come here to worship him. Everything else is to the side. Man, I hate getting bombarded with things at church. I like coming to the Lord's house. You know why I like coming here? So I can worship him. Worship him. That's it. So we come here and we worship him, but what do? Unacceptable words and actions are done to each other. Why? Because we don't know how to love. Greek word, agape, is a word of action. Michael, I don't know how to love because I've never been loved. Oh, watch this. You know how to love because he first loved you. How do I love? Well, today, we have some people in our church that's donated a whole bunch of fish to feed you. Today, we have some people that love you enough to go back there in this old hot weather and fix it for you. Today, we have enough people that love you to say, hey, we want you, instead of going out to that old nasty Lake Hall group, we want you to come in this nice air-conditioned building and worship the Lord. Amen? So let me tell you something today. How can I show love? Listen, Miss Barbara Little wrote this card to the church. This is an easy way to show love. Words cannot express our gratitude for all the prayers, texts, calls, cards, flowers, food during these last rough 3 weeks. We are blessed to have, listen to this, such a loving church. She goes on to say, I've been given a clean bill of health, and I have 13 years left on my pacemaker. Miss Barbara said, so let the adventures begin again. Thank you for walking with us. Love, Jim and Barbara Little. Listen, there are so many easy ways that the Lord has put on your heart to love one another. And I think our foundational relationships in the church are so shallow, and they need to be so much deeper. And so when you really love one another, and you really care about one another, what are you going to do? You're going to invest in each other. And you're going to talk to one another about your problems. You're going to love one another. You're going to go through the storms with each other. That's what you're going to do. So my prayer for you today is not only do we honor all people, but we love the brotherhood. When visitors come through the back doors of this church, they ought to say, man, there is something different about this place. There's something different about this place. When people come to this place, they ought to say, man, there is something different. That church truly loves one another. The third thing that Peter said instead of this first church is, he says, fear God. Oh, how we need to get back to fearing God. That means an awesome reverential reverence for who he is, for who God is. Our forefathers feared God. Worship was real to them. The Holy Spirit was ablaze in their service. There was singing that came from the heart. There was prayers that were grown from the Holy Spirit. There was preaching, and I'm talking about true preaching from the Word of God, where it was dissected verse by verse, and it was preached with fervor, and it was preached with fire. We need pulpits like that again today in this country. People need to learn how to fear God. An Australian pastor said that worship of God has become so self-indulgent. So self-indulgent. He said, God Almighty has become, again, this is a guy from Australia. He said, God Almighty has become God Almighty. You know, over there they say, good day, mate, right? God Almighty, okay? We have made God our friend. Listen, his ways are not ours. His ways are supreme. His ways are divine. His ways are righteous. His ways are just. His ways are sovereign. You and I need to bow before Almighty God. Fear God. And this Australian pastor said he sees so much self-indulgent worship. Isn't that where that Hill song was from? They've come out to be blasphemous. Some of their lyrics. to the songs that they sing. Self-indulgent worship. If people in the United States of America, truly feared God, this nation would be ablaze for revival. When you put revival on the calendar, you can't even get people to halfway fill the church. In 1776, when you put revival on the calendar, there were people, 15,000 in a field, to hear Whitfield preach the Word of God. That's what we need to get back to. Fearing God. Then last but not least, honor all people. It's tough, isn't it? Love the brotherhood. That's real tough. Ain't it? Then he says, fear God. Some of us come in here today, hey, I'm ready to eat fish. You had 1 minute thought about God. You're thinking about fireworks tonight. You're thinking about everything else, but not 1 minute do you have a fear for God. Because it's all about you. Then he gets to the last statement that is probably the toughest out of the whole verse of Scripture. He says, honor the king. King should not be capitalized in your Bible. Because he's not talking about Jesus. He's talking about Nero. Wow. Wow. I don't know about you, but that hits me right between that. Did you know who the first person I usually blame? President. Let's face it, he's an easy target, right? Honor the king. How in the world can I honor the governmental authority that has been placed in our country? And many of you in here, just like me, you felt like the election was stolen. There are many of you in here like me that are fired up and fervent up about the way our country is going. And it seems like the carpet, the rug has just been pulled out from under us when things seem to be going right, and now they're just going straight. Let's face it, going straight to hell. And so what do we have here? How can I honor somebody that devalues my faith? How can I honor somebody that has dismantled our moral absolutes and our values in Christ? How can I honor that? How can I honor somebody that promotes sin? How can I honor somebody that loves ungodly practices? How can I do that? This is not about Democrat. This is not about Republican. This is about the Word of God here today. Peter says to the dispersed church, which was good in AD 60, is good here in 2021, that we are to honor the king. Romans chapter 13 tells us that God has established the governments that are in place. And he does so, watch this, because he's sovereign. That means that he's in control. And everything that will be done through these governments, watch this, it brings him ultimate glory. Ultimate glory. So today, may not like who's in charge, but he's been placed there. Maybe by hook or crook, but he's there. And as he's there, God has this plan where he's there for the time being. And if he's there for the time being, well, Michael, surely that Greek word honor means something different than we're put. Yeah, it means the same thing, guys. It means to put an esteemed value on the king. Man, I don't know about you, but I need to get to the altar this morning. Hey, listen, we think we got it bad. Peter had it tough, didn't he? Nero was an evil among evil. He took Peter. He had him crucified to the cross. Peter, tradition tells us, said, I can't be crucified like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, turn me upside down. July 4th, 2021. How can I celebrate today? The Word of God gives us explicit instructions. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And honor the king. Why? Because we know that God is sovereign. We know that he does not change. We know that in the end, whatever the end may look like, we know that he is in control and that his glory will be revealed. And for us, you remember that old gospel song, the old Southern gospel song? I read the back of the book and we what? We win. We win. Today, happy 4th of July, happy Independence Day. Praise God that we win through Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for this country. You have blessed us beyond measure. And Lord, we humbly come for you today, Lord, knowing that we're a sinful nation. Lord, we have had godless judges in 1973 say that it's right to kill unborn babies. Lord, we know that that's wrong. And Lord, we repent of our sins and come before you today. Lord, give us a boldness and a fervor and a courage to stand up against the tyranny of evil in this great country. Lord, for the godless judges that deemed it right for homosexual marriage, for the godless judges that are allowing transgender to choose which bathroom they should go to. Lord, I pray today that you convict their hearts. And Lord, I pray today that your mighty salvation, Lord, if you so call them, Lord, call them unto yourself so, Lord, we can see people that have been changed because of you and, Lord, are enacting things that, because you have called them to do these good works from Ephesians 2:10. Lord, we pray for our country today. We pray for our president. Lord, my prayer is today you convict his soul. Convict his heart. He's blind. He's been polluted by the world. Lord, I'm thankful today that through your precious blood, he can be cleansed as white as snow. Lord, today I ask you to be with our country as we think about the Declaration of Independence, as we think about the Constitution. But Lord, most of all, we think about this country was founded upon your mighty word. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word convicts souls, it convicts hearts. And today on this July 4th celebration, I pray that we can learn how to honor all people. Lord, I pray today that we can show love in the brotherhood of Christ. Lord, I pray that we truly understand what it means to fear you, of how almighty and sovereign you are. And Lord, I pray today that we understand what it means to honor the King. Honor the King. Lord, we know that your will is going to be done. We know that your purpose is going to be revealed. And Lord, we praise you today for salvation in Jesus Christ, that no matter what happens here in America, our citizenship belongs to you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the ones that prepared the fish today, for all the trimmings, for all the ladies that brought dessert. Thank you for this good time of fellowship that we're going to have. Lord, I thank you so much today for the songs of praise. Lord, I thank you so much today for Michael Holland. And Lord, his profession of faith in you and for him being baptized here in New Hope Baptist Church today, we praise you for that. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here today. And Lord, I pray that they can leave this house saying it's been a blessing to be in the house of God. We love you. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before we close out today, you know, God is awesome. And when you truly fear God, you have this reverential respect for him and what he does in people's lives. It's just incredible to see. It's incredible to see what he did in Michael's life. And I got two people I want to present to the church today. And I just wish they'd come on down here real quick. I want to present Tracy Willis. Tracy, will you come down here? I know I'm going to be putting you on the spot. Tracy, come to us. Been visiting with her and been saved by Jesus Christ, been scripturally baptized. And Tracy comes to us today wanting to move her membership from Sand Springs Baptist Church and unite with us at New Hope Baptist Church.
And we're gracious for what the Lord has put on her heart to do. I also want to bring up another young man. Josh, will you come on up today? Josh Grotto has been such a blessing to us. And this young man went to camp. And when he went to camp, he professed Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he comes here today to unite with New Hope Baptist Church, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Savior. And he comes here today to be baptized at a later date. I know that you certainly wouldn't quench the Spirit on what the Holy Spirit has called these two to do. So with that being said, can we give the Lord a mighty amen and a mighty amen of praise? Amen. Come on down here, and Tracy, y'all stay down here, and Josh. And as we dismiss today, will y'all come by? And I know we may still have all these crazy COVID protocols, but it's okay. They said it's okay that you can hug their neck. And you know what? It's good to hug somebody's neck, amen? Hug their neck and tell them that you're glad that they're part of the fellowship of the house of the Lord here at New Hope Baptist Church. And just tell them that you're praying for them. And if there's anything specifically that you can do for them, you let them know that. Because the Lord is working in a mighty way in people's hearts, changing minds, changing hearts. And all we can do here today at New Hope on July 4th, 2021, is give Him the praise. Praise God this morning. Let's stand. We have said the blessing over the food. And so we want you to come and go eat. There is plenty. So don't think that you guys say, well, I didn't bring anything. There is plenty of food back here for you to stay and eat. You come back there and get your food, make yourself at home, and eat and have a good time, okay? And don't forget tonight. I know a lot of you are going to the fireworks, and that's great. But before the fireworks, you can come out here, and at 6 p.m. back here in our fellowship hall, we're just going to have an old-fashioned sing-along, and we're going to sing some old-fashioned songs for America and for our Lord and Savior. And then after that, we're going to have a little bit of trivia. Then we're going to have some more closing songs. And we want you to come and be a part of that from 6 o'clock to 7. Alas, there will not be any food. I know in sing-alongs, everybody looks forward to the food. But guess what? You're going to get plenty to eat right now, okay? So no food tonight. Then after the service tonight, go to the fireworks. Brother Larry,
there can be fireworks here also.
Oh boy! Hey, you don't even have to go to the fireworks tonight. You come right here and you get your own fireworks. So that's gonna be good. All right, Brother John, we got a song here. Let's sing it. Thank y'all for being here today.